MashaAllah, that was much better. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد Alright, let's make it more of a sort of informal and friendly discussion, if you don't mind, the topic, the discussion that we have this Sunday morning and Sunday mornings. As I have said it before, I'm sure that the fact that you had the motivation, alhamdulillah, and the willpower to come that early in the morning, leaving your comfortable and cozy bed and driving all the way to Imam Hussein Islamic Center here, you must be after something, you must be serious, you must mean business in a simple word, especially on Sunday morning. If you recall, and I quickly recap, last time we spoke about how to tame, or what is the issue of hawa nafs, and that we are expected to tame it, to leash it, to control it. You recall that I quoted an ayah from the Quran, Surah An-Nazi'at, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَّهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever really reveres the presence of his cherisher, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his Lord, and prohibits his evil desire, prohibits his lust from being unleashed, then for such people there will be paradise as the eternal abode and destination. We spoke about the meaning of hawa nafs, and in a nutshell we mentioned that all the discussions in spirituality, in Islamic mysticism, in irfan, in fact in elevating ourselves, all depend on whether we succeed in this topic or not, whether we are able to tame our lust and desire or not. That's why the topic of today and what we are still continuing talking about it, the issue of hawa nafs, is like the bedrock for all the spiritual discussions that we have. Impossible anyone makes one step forward towards his or her spirituality unless somehow they have managed to tame their will, their whim and desire. We cannot expect to lavishly live our lives and let our lust and desire drive us as wishes, and as still we say that I want to spiritually elevate myself, or I wish to be among people of paradise. It's impossible. That's why Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Nizamu dine mukhalafatul hawa." The foundation of the religion of Islam is to go against the whim and desire, to go against the lust. Let me just give you a detour quickly to know what is this nafs that we are supposed to go against it. What is it that I'm put in this battle, the battle that apparently animals, they don't have it, angels, they don't have it. There is a hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam that the Imam is narrating it from Amirul Mu'minin, Imam Ali alayhi salam. The Imam was asked, which one are more virtuous, angels or humans? The Imam says that, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created angels with all intellect without any lust. They don't have any lust as we do. They don't have any desire. No angel will ever have a lustful look. There's no greed for them. They don't have any lust or evil desire or any desire. The second are the animals that Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam says that animals are created just to go by their instinct and desire. The third category of the creation of God is us humans, that we are the combination of intellect and lust, intellect and the desire. Then the Imam says that whoever his intellect overrides his lust, he will be more virtuous than angels. And whoever his lust is driving him, he's less than animals, as I will inshallah explain it. Let's get into it a little bit further. See, there is constantly a dual inclination inside us. And I'm sure many of you, perhaps all of you have experienced that. Sometimes we feel so spiritual. We go to the mosque when we are in a spiritual gathering, Islamic gathering. We are hearing all the words of God and the words of Ma'asumin alayhi salam, it seems very promising, and I'm going to promise myself that I'm going to do this and that, and we feel very spiritual, very spiritually strong. But unfortunately, again, we go back to our normal life and all those promises have gone. At some stages in our life, we feel that I'm just like a completely different human. It's because of this dual inclination inside us between nafs and between aql, between nafs and between my shara and my religion. One of the differences between humans and animals is that although both of us, we have instincts for needs that we have, for desires that we have. The desire for drinking, the desire for eating, the desire for, you know, mating or reproduction, and you name it. But the difference is that animals, as long as their instinct, their gharize, and their, what do you call it, their need is met, they are content. Subhanallah. By their very creation, they are made in such a way to be content. They are not greedy. No animal, I don't think this issue of gluttony doesn't exist in the kingdom of animals. They don't overeat, and that's why they are not obese, so to speak. Humans are not like this. Humans, they can go beyond their needs. That's the problem. No animal, I think, would murder any of its own species. If you see that they devour, they attack, a spider that attacks, it's not just because it wants to be a wild creature. We call them wild creatures. In fact, they are not wild. Soon you will see that I'm getting to that ayah that أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامُ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. Why Quran says they're like beasts? No, they're worse than that. Because so-called wild creatures, they are attacking another animal just to meet their needs. This is survival of the fittest. This is instinct, to answer the instinct. Otherwise, they will die of hunger. No animal, no lion, I suppose, no wolf ever says to its mates that, okay guys, let's go hunting for fun. Unlike humans that go hunting sometimes for fun, go fishing just for fun, all right? Animals, they don't go fishing for fun. They just go to look after their own need, to satisfy their hunger, for example. All right, that's it. And the wildest creatures, once they are full, that's it. They don't go any further. Humans are not like these. For mating, animals, they don't have this type of sexual desire. They just go for mating for the purpose of reproduction, even with their own mates. Humans are not like these. So the difference between a pious man and an impious man is not that a pious man doesn't have any desire, any lust. Even if he's Prophet Yusuf, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, still he would have the same lust as a healthy person as an ordinary guy would. Alright? The difference is that Anbiya, Awliya, pious people, they have managed to tame and to control that lust and desire. Others, they have unleashed it. Others, they have let it go as it wishes, in a different world. Anbiya, Awliya, and pious people are those that are riding this desire. Others are those that those desires are riding them. That's why Quran says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامُ. You see, it looks like they're like animals. Soon Quran says, nay, worse than them. Worse than them. And in fact, who is worse, who is more virtuous? If I'm riding a donkey, I'm superior towards donkey because I'm holding the rein and I'm controlling the donkey where to go. But if the donkey is riding on me, I'm worse than the donkey. Those who let their whim and desire drive them just because I like it, therefore I want to do it. Such people, therefore, Quran says they are worse than animals. That's why you see that this topic is really so essential. The area of taming and controlling the desire are the following. I mentioned some of them and I want to categorize them, inshallah, today for you. And we proceed to something very delicate this morning, inshallah. believing that's an elite gathering, I'm going to share it with you, trusting your best understanding. The first area of understanding that we really got to tame our whim and desire is when it comes against common sense. One doesn't need even to be a Muslim to understand that smoking cigarette is harmful for the body. So if I want to smoke, that shows that I'm just unleashing my desire, just because I like it, because it's just a bad habit. I've spoken even with the police commander, about the issue of alcohol and drinking. Even the police commander says that, yes, a very bad culture that we have, it's bad. But even the police commander himself, when he goes to a party, he drinks it. Priests, as men of God, they drink it, even though they understand that it's bad. Why? Just because they like it. That shows anytime we do anything just because I like it, that shows that I have unleashed my desire in that area. Brothers, sisters, I don't want to be picky on you. I don't want to make life difficult on you. But if on this area of common sense, if there is a habit that you and I, we have, that our common sense tells us that this is wrong, I should not do it, yet I'm doing it, that shows at least on that area, my desire is riding me. Not that I'm riding. That shows on that area, at least I'm awal, I'm worse than animals. Remember, the issue of ulaika kal an'am bal hum adall is not a statement only for the kuffar. I could be in certain area in my life worse than animals. In another area, I could be angelic. Still, that shows there's a shortcoming somewhere in my life. I have to fix it. All right? So the first is when it comes in opposition and contradiction with the common sense. The second area is when it comes, this my hawa nafs and evil desire, it comes in opposition with my religious teachings, or jurisprudential teachings. I tell you one thing. The reason that a Muslim lady, she calls herself a Muslim, and again, I have to mention these examples and be frank with everybody. If a Muslim lady, she's a Muslim, and yet she is not practicing hijab, it's not because she doesn't know she has to practice hijab. We have mentioned elsewhere that even Christians are expected to wear it based on their scripture. Even the Jews are expected to observe it based on their own scripture, let alone Muslims. So why is it that she doesn't wear it? Because now she is living in a Western society, people around her, ladies around her, who are not practicing it, so she doesn't feel comfortable, she doesn't have that self-confidence to practice it. She admits that she is not strong enough to practice it, and that's why when she goes to a mosque, she doesn't have any problem wearing it. Because she can blend in, camouflage herself among other ladies who are practicing hijab. But outside, shaitan and her evil desire plays with her mind, with her intelligence, and tells her that, come on, what's the big deal? Look at all these semi-naked women. What's the difference whether you are covering your hair or not? Who cares? When she wants to go to the uni, when she goes to work, or because of her work, she's scared that she may lose the job or things like that. All right? The same proving that, and then you sit with them and you want to prove it to them that there is hijab. No matter what you say, she has a point to argue against you because she's not after the truth. She's just after justifying what she's doing. The same person, if God forbid something goes wrong in her life and then is desperate, it's a matter of life and death. All the doctors have said that, look, there is nothing we can do about it, and you've got a couple of months to leave. She flies all the way to Mashhad, and I'm talking about some real example here, by the way, obviously being anonymous. She flies to Mashhad, and she has no problem even to wear chador when she goes, that abaya inside the haram. Why? Because again, she's in need of something. This shows that this is the desire that is driving us again in certain areas in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, please pay attention to this ayah. Ayah 70, Surah Al-Ma'idah. I really urge you to go to it later on and really reflect on it. brothers, sisters, these ayat are revealed to the Prophet first and foremost for you and I, who are more in touch, inshallah, with the Quran, not for kuffar. Yes, it's talking about kuffar, but it's messaging to us. What is that? Quran says that surely we have taken a strong covenant from the children of Israel. وَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ رُسُلًا And we send them messengers after messengers. But كُلَّمَا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُهُمْ فَرِيقٌ كَذَّبُوا فَرِيقًا كَذَّبُوا وَفَرِيقًا يَقْتُلُونَ Every time a messenger comes with a teaching, either they deny it, say, no, who says, I don't believe there is such thing in Islam. Or if they can, they kill that messenger. The message in it for us is that every time we are not practicing what we know in our religion, in other words, we are denying it. We say that there's no such things in Islam, and this is worse. Thanks to God, we don't have access to those messengers and prophets. Otherwise, if we could, God forbid, certain people would kill them as well. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The third area of the conflict between women desire, the evil desire, and our intellect and our religious teachings is when it comes to judgment. Please, and pretty please. This is the area that I have to confess to you that I fail, and we perhaps, we always say, many of us, unfortunately, we fail a lot. I want to tell you even, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trained, disciplined one of his prophets, Prophet Dawood, ala nabiyyina wa alayhi wa alayhi salam, that the Almighty God praises him a lot. But during the training period, he also failed. Subhanallah, when a prophet fails and slips and makes a mistake, imagine us ordinary people. To discipline and to educate, to teach his prophet to become a judge later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending two angels in the form of two humans, two brothers. It's in Surah Sa'd. They appear to Prophet Dawood and said, Ya Rasulallah, one of them turned around and said that, Ya Rasulallah, look at my brother, he's a tycoon, he's a rich man. He's got 99 sheep. Ooh. And I've got only one. Alright, he's got 99 goats, I've got only one. Yet, he's so greedy, he's even after that very single goat that I have. He's asking me to give it to him. And I don't have really the talent to argue him back. He's just trying to manipulate me. Prophet Dawood immediately turns around and says that, قَدْ ظَلَمَكَ بِسُعَالِ نَعَجَتِكَ إِلَى نَعَاجِهِ He definitely wronged you by asking you to give him the only goat that you have, to give it to him. Subhanallah. Upon saying that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Dawood, you failed the test. You failed the test. Your judgment was right. Yes, you are right in what you said. But the methodology that you took was wrong. Technically speaking, you were not supposed to make any judgment, to give any verdict, to give your opinion, unless you've heard two sides of the story equally. Imam Ali alayhi salam was telling Shuraih al-Qadi, the judge that he had appointed himself, he said, even me as Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ma'asum, I step into the courtyard, to the court, and there is someone against me. You are not supposed to look at me more than him. You have to give both sides equal opportunities to defend themselves. All right? The issue of judgment, subhanAllah, especially if one side of the argument is myself, that makes it more challenging. One side is somebody else, another one is me, and I'm supposed to be judged. Most likely we are going to fail in our judgment. Most likely, this is nafs al-ammare that is driving us. If you want to test it, you test it. See how difficult it is in an argument with your wife, with your husband, with your mate, with your colleagues. Huh? See how difficult it is to find excuses for others. And how easy it is to justify what we do ourselves, subhanAllah. I'm sure you are aware of this, that there are different levels of nafs as we are elevating ourselves. The lowest one that makes us stay lower than animals is called nafs al-ammare. This is the evil desire that you are talking about. That is sending signals for sinning. Above that is nafs al-lawwame, that sometimes I make a mistake, I sin, and later on I regret it. I hate myself that I've done that, I've said that. Lawwame, meaning blaming myself. When it comes to judgment, unfortunately, it seems many of us, even we are not elevated to the level of nafs al-lawwame, let alone nafs al-mutma'inna. We are still nafs al-ammare. That's why we give the other side a go, really. We just talk against them. And yet, we justify what we say. If we could turn the table, that we blame ourselves somehow in my family argument, in my argument, discussion, or disagreement with my wife, if somehow I can turn around and say that it's somehow my fault, I'm at fault as well. In my, if something goes wrong about my children, instead of put the blame on my wife, if I take the blame, subhanAllah, for the achievement of our children, like the father, like the son. But once the children fail, must be his mother's gene. this is the problem. Remember I mentioned to you that I just finished my Hajj, Amal Hajj, and really one of the awliyaullah that I met in Jamarat, and when I was commenting on something that people were doing, he made such a nice statement that I never forget, and I like to repeat it time and again. Altamis lahum udra. Try to find an excuse for them. See if you can justify what they do. Especially when it comes to Muslim brethren. It's very important. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, there is a fourth area that in general public gathering is hard to bring it up. I bring it up to this, gathering that we have. Trusting your intelligence, trusting your inshallah understanding, and may God give me the opportunity inshallah to share it with you properly, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt will be pleased with it, and they were practicing it. But I need your attention, alright? The fourth area of taming our evil desire is when it comes to mubahat. So far we are talking about haram. Now I want to say that take one step even further. There are certain things that is mubah, it's permissible to do it, apparently at least permissible today to do. Sometimes someone has stolen a car, the money that he has earned is from drugs and therefore he's driving a Porsche. That's definitely haram. From haram income, he's driving a very expensive car. But no, sometimes he's a businessman. He's a successful businessman. And alhamdulillah, from his business, he can afford to drive a $200,000 car. Alright? Is there anything wrong with that? From his own business, he can afford to buy a very expensive car in the most expensive suburb. Few million dollars or more. What's wrong with that? Because of his business, his family, his wife, children, they can spend as they wish. They can go shopping to the most expensive, shopping centers, supermarkets, and they can spend lavishly as they wish. They can afford it. They don't have any problem. Money is not an issue in their life. Are they supposed to do that or not? And if you turn around and tell them, why are you driving this? Just because I can afford it, I like it. Is it haram? I pay my homes apparently, I pay charity apparently, and at the same time, I like to drive this as well. I like to live in this house as well. I like to wear these clothes as well, and so forth. Let me take the examples a little bit further and more controversial. When it's coming to mubahat, you see that some of the boys, some of the young men, they again go with their lust and desire. and he's not going to commit adultery. I'm not giving the haram example here. The examples are the halal, apparently, examples. He's going for mut'ah, temporary marriage. But he says that, Sheikh, is it a restriction about the number of the girls that we do temporary marriage with? Excuse me to give this example, and with all respect to the sisters, to be explicit, but inshallah, we'll come back to a good conclusion about it. I said, no, just prudentially, there is no restriction for reasons. One, two, three, four, five, the more the merrier. He keeps going, as many as he can afford, as many as possible to him. And if you turn around and say to them, come on, man, how many? He said, is it haram? Are you accusing me that I'm committing haram? I said, no, no, it's not haram, but anything that is halal, that means that you have to, again, you let your desire unlavished and unleashed and let it go. Just let your desire unleashed just because it's halal. This is a question. Is there any limit when it comes to mubahat, to permissible acts or unpermissible acts? There is no limit. Enjoy it as you wish. This is the argument, this is a discussion that is there any evil desire in that, in mubahat? Is there any limit for me in the kind of the house that I can have, the kind of a car that I can drive, the kind of a clothes that I can wear, and the number of the, you know, the wives, at least temporarily? We know for permanently there is a limit. For permanently that I can go with, or there is no limit. Anybody argues with me, anyone who wants to comment on me, they're accusing me because I'm doing something permissible. What's wrong with that? What I want to tell you here, especially for those who care about their spirituality, they care about elevating themselves, they care that they don't become the example of, I wish you had a pen and paper with you to take note of these ayat and reflect on them later on, really. Reflect on them. In the sessions of the Quran that I have with the brothers, I tell them that Quran is revealed for us, not for the kuffar, that they never come across this ayat perhaps in their life. So we have, Quran is talking apparently about the kuffar, but the message is for us. أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتُكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا. The mut'ah is also from this, as an example of it, of course. Surah Al-Ahqaf, ayah number 20. Quran says, on the day of judgment, there are certain people that will be presented to hell. Hell will be shown to them, and then God says to them that, do you see that you went to the end of it? You enjoyed tayyibatikum fi hayatikum ad-dunya. You enjoyed the pleasure of this dunya for as much as you could. وَاسْتَمْتَعَتُمْ بِهَا. You enjoyed it for as much as you could. Huh? Is that what you were created for? The least is that you have to give your life to it to get some of it back. And therefore, definitely, you lost some of your spirituality and some of the opportunities for your spirituality. Because you went out for so late, obviously you are not going to get up for your morning prayer. You miss your wajibat. So exaggeration in mubahat even is not permissible because it will lead to committing haram. It will lead to committing haram, or it will cost us losing so many opportunities for our spiritual uplifting. Now, perhaps this hadith makes a bit of more sense to you. We have this from Amir al-Mu'minin, Imam Ali alayhi salam, and from the Prophet and some of the Imams as well. I quote the one from Amir al-Mu'minin, or about Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, that Utiya Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam bekhane faludaj. Faludaj is something similar to sort of like slopey that, you know, we have in Australia. Slopey. What's wrong with having a slopey? Perhaps last night you had one. Fair enough. But look at this. They put a tablecloth, perhaps different types of ice cream. In another hadith says halwa, sweet, khabiz, and things like that. Imam Ali alayhi salam, with one finger, he just touched it, tasted it. Hmm, yummy. The Imam, watalammada isba'ah, he tasted it, said, hmm, innal halala tayyibun, wa ma huwa bi haram.
this halal is tayyib, is pure, is nice, tastes nice. I'm not saying it's haram, but walakinni akrahu an u'awwid nafsi ma lam u'awwidha. But I don't like to get addicted to something that I have not addicted it. Something new now is offered to me. I don't want to get addicted to it, that tomorrow is going to be difficult for me to step out of it. Irfa'uhu anni. Take it away from me. Thank you very much. In another hadith, they say, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, are you telling us that it's haram? Shouldn't we eat it? The monk says, never. No, I'm not saying that it's haram. I'm telling you because I am disciplining myself. I'm watching what I eat, what I drink. I want to make sure that whatever, even if I choose something halal to do it, I choose it when my intellect tells me it's okay, now you can have a bit of it. You can go for a little bit. Even if it is halal and permissible. Do you know why once a year at least is obligatory throughout the year is recommended for us to fast? And also, why is it that during the fasting days of the month of Ramadan, we are not allowed to have a sip of drink of water? What's wrong with water? Isn't it mubah? We are not allowed to have even a seed, a badr, in our mouth. What's wrong with that? Is it haram? No, it's not, my friend, haram. But God is training us, disciplining us, that some of the things that, yes, they are permissible, but permissible under the control of your intellect and your religion, so that for the rest of the year, you know, even on permissible acts, your nafs has to drink when you want him to drink, and as much as you want him to drink. Your intellect, by you, I mean your intellect and your religion. All right? Not just because it's halal, unleash it. Let his pace in this, graze in this pasture and enjoy whatever he wants to, because it's halal. It's a hadith from Prophet Isa alayhi salam that مَثَلُ طَالِبِ الدُّنْيَا مَثَلُ شَارِبِ مَا الْبَحْرِ. The example of the one who wants to go for the pleasure of dunya, is the seeker of dunya for as much as possible. It's like someone who wants to quench his thirst from the seawater. Seawater is salty. The more he drinks, the thirstier he's going to become. That's the problem. If you can manage, and again, I don't want to be to make it difficult really for you, but as I said, this is an elite gathering. I believe that you are here for a good reason. All right? If you can manage with a car or some, I don't know, 20K, 30K, 50K, you name it. And it's a really a decent, good car, even if you can afford 10 times of that, my humble request and recommendation from what Quran and Ahlul Bayt al-Musallam are telling us, is better you don't go beyond that. Differentiate between your needs and your want. Whatever that is your want, I just like it, stop it, tame it, control it, limit it at least. But your need, go for it. Your need is your need, is your the desire that you and I, we need, even a prophet needed, the messenger of God also needed it. Let me finish with this hadith and inshallah we'll continue it next time, and thank you very much for your patience. This is a hadith again as a quote, I want you to repeat after me and keep it inshallah with you, take it home as a gift, share it with your friends. The whole discussion that we've had on this issue is summarized, zip version in these few words of the Holy Prophet of Islam sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I say it and you please repeat after me. Inshallah it helps you to memorize it. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma qalla wa kafa khayrun mimma kathura wa alha. Translation, it means a little of something, of course something halal, otherwise if it's haram, even a tiny atom of it is haram, but a little of something halal, that suffices, that a bit of halal, that alhamdulillah, now my need is met, I'm fine now, I don't need to go any further, is better than too much of it that distracts you. Alha, yani distracts you from God, distracts you from your religious activities, from other activities, good, useful activities. So anytime that you're wondering whether I really need this or not, you see that whether it is a need or it's a want. car, house, clothing, changing this, changing that. And I know that you have to really fight against the culture of consumerism, but so be it, so be it. Assignment that inshallah we're going to do, we have 1 month to work on it, is let us review our lives and see what it is that I'm doing that is against my common sense. I know it's wrong, my common sense tells me that it's wrong, yet I'm doing it. Cigarette was just a typical example. Inshallah, see if we can find more examples. Hopefully we can, but let's be very critical on ourselves. Assignment number two, what is it that I'm doing and it's against my Sharia law, against my religion, and still I'm doing it because I like it. A bad habit that I like it and I know it's against my religion. In that area again, if I'm that person, if there is an example, I am balhum abal, I'm worse than the beast. That lust is driving me, not I'm driving it. And the third is wrong judgment. Trust me, so many examples exist here. Inshallah, we have to work on it hard. And finally, is there anything that I don't need it yet, I like it and I have it and I enjoy it, just because I want to enjoy it, I like it, I go for it? Or I can reduce it closer to limit it, inshallah, if possible, to only my needs and nothing further than. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.